You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
It is Bob, Dave, and Moore here on 710 ESPN Seattle. Time for our player spotlight. A pleasure to speak to a man who came up with the game-sealing play, the interception of Dak Prescott, which secured the win for the Seattle Seahawks. Talking about Ryan Neal joining us now. Ryan, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. I'm blessed, man. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's good to talk to you, and I'm sure that's exactly how you envisioned your first game after being called up from the practice squad. You envisioned it going just like that, right?
Hey, well, you know what? For the sake of this, we'll say absolutely. But keep it 100, man. Hey, I had no idea, but I'll tell you what, it can't get no better than that. So, man, just super happy, super blessed to just have that opportunity. So that's all I can say about that.
Well, and Ryan, the thing is, you got to be ready and at all times,
yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
And you were. So kind of tell us, us through how it went, like on Sunday morning, you know, the preparation when you realized, hey, man, I'm actually going to get in the game and then eventually make a play.
Well, I'm sure we can even go back before that. I mean, starting on Friday, you know, was going through the week, you know, was, you know, practice squad giving looks. And then on Friday, you know, we go into the big meeting and next thing you know, they're like, hey, you starting, you know, left tackle on kickoff return. And I'm like, oh, okay, here we go. So now I know I'm playing on Friday and we go through it. And in my mind, you know, I'm thinking a typical, you know, all right, cool, do my special teams duty, you know, go hard, you know, bust my butt and make a name for myself. And before the game, you know, Coach Curtis came up to me and was just saying how our backup safety, you know, he wasn't going to play today. And I was going to be the next guy up if something were to go wrong, you know. And I was like, oh, okay, well, here we go. So, you know, the game's going and, you know, I'm busting butt on special teams. And I see, you know, Jamal is hurting. And they call me and I'm like, oh, all right, now here we go for real. We in here now. So it just kind of happened like really, really fast. Like the turnover was just really, really fast. And that's all I can describe it, that it was fast. And I just, hey, like you said, next man up, you know, got to be ready, got to be prepared, because you just never know your name will get called.
Well, Ryan, how nervous were you?
To be honest with you, I wasn't even nervous. I didn't have a moment to even take it all in. It was, hey, you're in. You know what I mean? And then just strap up and go. So that's just kind of how I was feeling about it. It was, I just didn't even have a moment to even take it all in. It was like, hey, time to go to war. Let's go. So I wasn't even, yeah, it was just time to ride.
And can you take us through that last play where you ended the game with your interception in the end zone, what you were seeing from Prescott? It looked for all the world that Mayoa had sacked him, but he stumbled out of it and got free. What was it like from your view?
So, I'm back there playing my coverage, and I'm just, you know, doing my job, and I see Benson has him wrapped up. So I'm like, oh, man, this is it. And then I see him stumbling, and still when he was stumbling, I'm like, okay, he's probably going to – I think he's going to fall or somebody's going to come hit him. Like, somebody's got to come. Like, to me, it felt like he was stumbling for so long. I'm like, okay, somebody else has got to come hit this dude because he's just still falling. But then he raises back up, and I'm like, okay, he's about to throw it. Because, I mean, it was the last second. I'm like, I know he's going to throw it. I'm just going to just – I don't know where he's going to throw it. I just know he's going to throw it. And he just launched it up there, and all I could think about was just get the ball. That's the only thing I thought about, was just get the ball. So I just jumped up and – lo and behold, came down with it. Thank God, you know what I mean? Just making a big play for my team, and that's how it went. But for a minute when he was stumbling, I'm like, okay, he's either going to fall or somebody else is going to hit him. There's no way. But he just stood back up, and I was like, oh, here we go. Let's get it.
Is it hard to keep track of the guys around you, the receivers around you, when you're watching the quarterback and you think the play might be over? It seems like it'd be easy to lose track of where you're at or who you're covering in that particular moment.
Yeah. And that does happen, but the thing is, we practice it all the time, because, I mean, we practice against probably one of the greatest pocket presence quarterback ever. I mean, he moves around all the time. What he does in the game, he does in the practice. So we work on, I mean, it's like an everyday thing for us. We work on it all the time. So it's like whenever you, even if we're like in the zone coverage, if you got somebody in your zone and the quarterback starts scrambling around, we call it plaster. You grab on and not grab on, but you take the dude that's in your zone and you stick with him to hold down. So I think at the time I had I think it was Gallup in my zone. I just told myself, I'm not, no matter where he go, I'm going to stay next to him, because I just know he's the first dude near me, and he just threw it up there. So I just was like, oh, got to make the play, jump.
Yeah. Well, hey, Ryan, really awesome for you, your friends, your family. What'd you hear from afterwards? And How rewarding was that getting in?
I heard from everybody, but everybody. I mean, I haven't had my phone had that many notifications and text messages in my life. But right after the game, you know, I spoke to my fiance first and foremost, and then spoke to my oldest brother Mike, and we had good conversations. And after that, it just started trickling down to everybody else. You know, as soon as I knew for a fact I had to call my fiance first. She'd been with me through the whole journey, and my brother, who's been just, you know, mentoring me through this whole thing. And then after that, you know, got on the phone with the rest of my family there, and you know, just started talking to them, and they're overjoyed. And I'm just glad, just as much as I had that moment, that they had it, because, you know, when I didn't just catch the ball, my whole family caught the ball. You know, my fiance caught the ball, my hometown caught the ball. So it was just a great thing to do it for them.
What a cool thing to say. I mean, for everybody that was pulling for you. So did you go home and watch the highlights at all?
I mean, I couldn't even avoid it because it was everywhere. I mean, every time I opened my phone, I'm like, man, like, this is my first time essentially going viral. So I'm like, this is something I got to get used to. This is new for me. So, I mean, yeah. Kept seeing over and over again. I'm just like, man, it just – and the thing was, I didn't even want to see the highlight because I'm like, man, if I keep watching the highlight, I'm not going to remember what it actually felt like to catch the ball. I'm just remembering the highlight. So I'm like, let me just not look at it. I don't even want to look at it. I'm just trying to just take it all in. So, yeah, but I couldn't avoid it, man. It was everywhere.
Well, yeah, I mean, did it occur to you that, I mean, that guy that you picked off yesterday is making like $40 million a year or is going to?
I mean, to be honest with you, I didn't even get down to it like that. I'm just like, man, ball. That's all I thought about was ball. Didn't know who threw it. Didn't care who threw it. I just seen the pigskin flying. I'm like, let me go. Hey, go get it. The ball right there. So, yeah, but I ain't even thought about it like that.
Hey, Ryan, you talk about everybody that's had your back and been with you through your ride. What's this ride been like? I mean, you signed with the Eagles as an undrafted free agent. You get waived. Mm-hmm. You go to the Falcons. It doesn't work out there. Mm-hmm. You come to Seattle. I mean, it's been – were there ever moments of doubt? Like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to make it?
Yeah.
Or how have you felt along the way?
Man, so, I mean, like you said, it was starting off, you know, the first team, going undrafted and getting to the Eagles, and literally on the first day of rookie minicamp, I mean, I blow my hamstring out, and I'm just like, man, I done worked so hard to get to this point just to have it all just – you know what I mean? Like, on the first day, so – It was really stressful at that time, man. And, you know, unfortunately, they let me go, and I went back home, back to my apartment that was in near my university, and just sitting there with my fiance. And I'm like, man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get back in the game. You know, I haven't played a preseason game. This is my rookie year, undrafted, and I'm hurt. I don't know who, like, you know what I mean? At this point, I'm just like, I'm probably not going to get another opportunity after this. But ATL came through, and they say, we want to, you know, bring you in, see what you're made of. And, you know, I made that work out, you know, to the best of my ability, got practice squad there and got activated later in the year. And then the next time around, went through a position change, which was very surprising. And you know, it didn't work out. And, you know, it was heartbreaking at first. But, you know, you just take it on the chin and you just wait for the next call. And, you know, Seattle gave me that call. And I came out here. And, I mean, this organization is second to none. I love it. You know what I mean? From the top down. And, you know, talking to Coach Carroll when I first got here, he was just like, hey, we just want you to come here and want you to learn and do what you got to do, and we want to see you. And I'm like, I'm going to give it, you know, my best shot. So going through that year, got activated, you know, third game to the last one, and was playing special teams, made the most out of that, and they brought me back for another opportunity. And, you know, coming back around, I'm like, man, this really it right here. I got to make this one count. I got to make the roster opening day. And it didn't happen, you know what I mean? And it was just like, God, like, what, like, you know what I mean? Like, what am I doing? Like, and of course there was doubt. Like, I was talking to my fiance, like, man, I don't know about this whole football thing. Maybe is it, man? I don't know. Is it not? And, you know, she was just like, man, just stick with it. You just never know. Stick with it. You know, she said that. My brother said it. Stick with it. You never know. You right there. You know what I mean? And so, just took that attitude and was like, you know, I'm going to come back and just keep working. You just keep on working because you just don't know. And next thing you know, this happens. So it's just like, you know, along any journey, man, it's going to be tough. And you just never know how close you are. You just got to keep going because you never know when it's going to pop. Because if you quit, then you'll never get the chance to know. So just stick with it.
Yeah, that's great stuff, Ryan. And you mentioned your brother, Mike, and the best mentor I had during my career was my dad, who didn't know anything about football. It was more about, you know, just advice about life. Is that the kind of stuff you got from your older brother?
Yeah, well, my older brother, he played 6 years in the league. He was on that Green Bay Packers Super Bowl team his rookie year, and you know, he went through a lot of stuff. You know, he was the first of my family to for real make it and, you know, see all that, you know, just see all that. I mean, when he got drafted, I was sitting next to him in the house that day when he got drafted in 2010. And I'll never forget that day because it was like that day right there let me know that, man, if you just – you can do it too. You know what I mean? And to have that, you know, in my household is truly a blessing. Like, not even a lot of people get dudes from their hometown who make it, but – It was fortunate for me that my brother made it, you know what I'm saying? So when I seen that happen, it changed everything. And then from there on out, I mean, he continued to just, you know, show me love, mentor me, give me all knowledge. And, you know, he even in college, he was still just giving me, you know, telling me tips and pointers, what to do, what to look for. And when he was in the league, I was just looking and observing and all of that. And I never took it for granted, his journey and all the stuff that he went through and his transitions and the pain and the struggle. And even to this day, we talk every day, you know what I mean? He'll even look at film with me sometimes, and we just talking about techniques, like in the off season, we working on stuff together, and he's just like, man, you know what I mean? He's been second to none, man, just really been that mentor for me, and I'm very fortunate to have that because a lot of people don't have it. So I'm very grateful for my brother Mike.
Man, Ryan, you sound like a cool kid.
I'm just being me, man. I ain't trying to be cool. I'm just being me.
No, cool isn't really, really nice.
Yeah, man, I'm just being, hey, just being the true self, man. I ain't got nothing to hide.
All right. Okay. Well, you mentioned your fiance. I bet you have a good story about when and where and how you proposed.
Ah, man, so it was bye week 2019, man. It was overdue. It needed to happen. And I was like, you know what, hey, now's the time. Let's just make it happen. And I ended up putting a little something together. And that was probably one of the most nervous times I ever had in my life. I never thought it would be that shocking. Because the thing was I thought I had it set up to where it was going to be kind of like a private thing, you know. But turned out that we booked the table at a fully booked restaurant. Like, it was full of people. And I'm looking around like, oh, I got to do this now. Like, I was not expecting. Like, couldn't even eat my food. I don't know how she didn't know it was about to happen. But she didn't know. I don't know how I held it together. But that was the most nervous I've ever been in my life. I was like, dude, I'm about to do this in front of all these people? Oh, my God. And when I stood up, next thing you know, everybody putting their phone up. I'm like, oh, man, this is But it was so cool, man. It ended up working out. But, man, I ain't never – that was the most nervous I've ever been, for real. I was like, damn, man.
Did they give you a round of applause in the place?
Oh, yeah, it was super cool. I mean, it was just so weird because everybody in the restaurant stopped, the workers stopped and looked, and they got their phones out. I'm like, oh, my God, this is really happening right now. Yeah, so that was crazy, but it was awesome. It was super awesome.
Hey, as far as coming up as a football fan and playing the game, obviously your brother's a big influence, but did you have a favorite player or a favorite team, somebody you modeled your game after or you wanted to be like?
I think more so it was just players. It wasn't necessarily teams. Like, I just loved watching different people. Like, I mean, when I was growing up, I could have sworn to you I was going to be a running back. I wanted to be like Adrian Peterson so damn bad when I was a little kid. I was like, man, I want to be just like him. But I'm like, nah, that ain't going to be me. But, I loved him. I loved freaking, you know, Sean T, Brian Dawkins, Ed Reed, Ball Hawkins, Charles Woods, and just so many great – it was just so many great players that I like to watch, to where I couldn't even have a favorite team. Because every time I had a game on, I was watching for somebody. So it just, I had a lot of people I was looking at, man. It was, yeah, just a lot of different players and role models.
Hey, Ryan, let me ask you what it's like having a birthday when you're a little kid. You got a birthday on Christmas Eve. Did you feel like you kind of got ripped off, you know? Like, oh, it's kind of a combination.
I didn't understand that I was being ripped off until I got older and thought about it. I was like, wait a minute, what? Because I remember one Christmas, my mom was like, hey, guess what you get to do today? I'm like, what? She said, you can open up one of your Christmas gifts early. As a kid, I'm like, oh, yeah, let's go. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I get old, I'm like, wait a minute, I got shorted. Somebody lied to me. All right, bro. Yeah, but man, yeah. I'm like, man, what the heck? But, you know, I mean, you know, some years, you know, it was great. Some years, you just, hey. But to me, it was all the same as a kid. It was Christmas joy, all that. It was just too much to even think about. So I'm like, I don't care. I'm getting something.
Hey, Ryan, so I don't know if reality is going to strike today or not, but, I mean, I read this morning that you might be going back to the practice squad. If that's the case, how are you going to handle it? You just going to have that same great attitude that you always have?
Yeah, I'm going to come to work with a smile on my face, and what I really am happy for is that the other guys got to see that happen. You know what I mean? Despite if I go at the roster or not, the other practice squad guys and anybody who's just been following my journey, you know, practice squads across teams and undrafted, really, like, I just hope that what happened yesterday, they get to see it and they give them hope. And, you know, I mean, I even worked out with them this morning, just, you know, being around them and having them see that. You know what I'm saying? Letting them know, like, you just never know when your name gonna get called. And when it get called, go out there and do what you know you can do that you've been doing your entire life. You know what I mean? So, that's, I mean, like I said, I'm going to come back to work with a smile on my face, ready for the next opportunity, regardless of what happens.
How does that work? Is it the coach that calls you, your agent call you and say, all right, you're how does that process work when you're on the practice squad and they're activating you?
So this year is the most different year, the type of time to do it, because in the past, like, you would get activated in the beginning of the week and, you know, your agent would call you and, you know, the coach would call you up and like, hey, we have to come bring you in, sign a contract for the active roster, yada, yada, yada. But since we're going through all the COVID things now, you are allowed to bring up two players from the practice squad each week. And so after Blair went down the week before, they had promoted, you know, my guy Lyndon to the active roster. So I was like, all right. So throughout the whole week, I'm going through and I'm giving looks like normal. You know what I mean? I'm on the practice squad like normal. But then on Friday, out of the blue, in the meeting, like, I didn't even know until I got to work and we went to the meeting. It was like, hey, you playing? I'm like, oh, what? Really? Like, literally just like that. So that's kind of how it worked out. And it was, you know, I just, you know, went ahead and did what I had to do.
Well, Ryan, I think you're probably the best interview we've had in a long time, man. We got to get you back on the show and would love to see you in person.
Man, y'all buttering me up.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Yeah, keep making big plays, man.
Man, I appreciate you guys bringing me on, for real. Thank you for the opportunity.
Ryan,
man, you might be the best interview ever, man. I really enjoyed this.
Y'all better stop, man. I seen Zay on this phone a couple weeks ago. Y'all better stop.
Yeah, you're not jaded yet, man. You're excited about playing football. You're just excited about your position in life. You know, some guys get jaded after a while, so it's good to hear that.
Yeah.
It's refreshing, man. I think the listeners and the fans are going to love it.
I appreciate it.
Congrats on the game, man. A very, very cool ending. Cool to see you come down with the ball. It was great to talk to you. Hopefully we get a chance to talk again.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for having me, man. Appreciate you guys.
How do you not love that guy? How do you not listen to that and go, all right, that's a quality dude. That is a quality, fun guy who just loves to be alive, loves being a football player. And unfortunately, we had a lot of people saying, I want to see him more. People texting in, they do love him, which is great. But unfortunately, he was sent back down to the practice squad today.
Yeah.
Well, he could be called back up. I mean, I think Pete said Shaquem is going to be called back. Shaquem was sent back down after he got a really good grade from Pro Football Focus and felt good about that, and then he was sent back down, and now Pete said he's going to come back up. So I'm not sure about these maneuverings they're doing. I thought they had an open roster spot, but who knows? So hopefully he finds his way back, because his energy and his joy is infectious.
Yeah, I don't know, Jim, if you're looking at the text toy like Bob and I are, but I've never seen so many texts about what a good guy he is. And that's why, you know, your personality really matters. It really does. And that's why I sometimes will rip guys like Josh Rosen, you know, just because.
Sometimes. I mean,
this guy, every once in a while. He loves it. He loves football. And that's the kind of attitude you want. And, you know, I remember Ken Norton talking about the 2018 draft, saying, you know, how he was fond of this draft because they stay late. They come early. They don't complain. They ask questions, they're curious, they're hardworking, you know, all of those kinds of things. Just, you know, and that's what Cliff Averill told us last Friday about Alton Robinson. And I saw Alton interviewed after the game. Actually, he was interviewed on our postgame show at Q13. And, you know, he was just, you know, that kind of guy, just fantastic young man. And that's what you want. Now, look, you still got to be able to play, but lots of guys can play. And also, you know, this is the kind of guy that's going to take adversity well. Because that's part of it. That's part of being an NFL player. You're going to suffer adversity, whether it's going to be you drop a pass or you get a ball punched out through the back of the end zone like DK, or, you know, it's how do you respond to that? Or you get injured, you know, and that's the most disappointing part. But then also getting sent down and back and all those things, all that stuff matters. So, yeah, Ryan Neal, you know, and I feel bad because I didn't realize that his older brother had played, you know, for the Packers. But, you know, I asked him that question about what kind of advice. But I'm sure his older brother gave him a lot of that same stuff that my dad gave me, you know, hard work, perseverance, you know, good attitude, all those things.
Hang in there. I mean, he's a guy who bounced from team to team to team, and he talked about being injured his rookie year and getting released.
Right.
So, I mean, that's you know, I could see you getting down and going, and he talked about it with his fiance, Jim, that he was, you know, talking to her like, man, I don't know if this football thing is going to happen, and mm-hmm. sticking it out. And now he, you know, he got sent back down today and hopefully gets called back up. But man, that's a guy you just root for.
Yeah, pretty cool to hear what he had to say about that, too. With going to the practice squad would be pretty disappointing after, well, wait a minute, I was just out there playing against the Dallas Cowboys on national TV. Joe Buck was talking about me, and I'm going back to the practice squad. Didn't I just stop that guy on the one-yard line and lead to a safety, and didn't I get the interception that ended the game? And still, he's going to go back to that practice squad and work as hard as ever, and he just had such a great attitude about it. You know, you go into – it's kind of funny because you go into these interviews, and we were having a hard time finding different things about Ryan Neal and wondering what we were going to ask him and wondering how it was going to go, and you always take it as a challenge just, you know, being on a sports talk show to try and get as much out of a guy. You don't know what you're going to get going into it, mm-hmm. and that guy delivered.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't so much our questions. It's just I think he would have been a good interview with anyone, but it was just – yeah, you end up – you get done with it. You barely had heard of Ryan Neal until yesterday, and then he has such a good game, and now you feel like you're going to be – I mean, someone just texted in saying you're going to be a fan of his forever, and I can see why.
Yeah, and the 509, I think, nailed it. You can just hear his smile in that interview, and that's perfect. You're absolutely right. He was great, and hopefully he gets another crack at it. He gets called back up, and his attitude couldn't be better. I mean, really, really fun to talk to him. All right, coming up. Seahawks defense is a bit of a problem right now. Is winning despite the record yardage being given up sustainable? We'll talk about that next with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
A reminder, you've got radios in your homes. If you've got a smart speaker, just tell it to play 710 ESPN Seattle or 710 AM, and you've got a radio happening right there. If only the conversations we had off air, Dave, made it to the air.
I think people might be surprised, but maybe not.
They would be.
Maybe there was some complaining about the lack of a television, because I believe, well, I won't say it. There's a football game on right now.
Is there?
Jim has a TV, I'm sure he's watching.
Well, I don't, but I downloaded or uploaded or whatever the NFL app, and I'm watching on my phone right now. Kansas City's at the Baltimore 3-yard line, trailing 3-0, but it's second and goal.
All right.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's good news.
Keep us posted.
Hey, this defense we've touched on quite a bit today. And, you know, you're looking at, I'm just looking at their numbers right now after, and again, it's three games, so you keep it in perspective. But right now they're dead last in the league in total yards allowed at an average of 497.3 per game, almost 500 even, and they're dead last in passing yards at 430.7. And that's a good 80 yards more than the next worst team, the Atlanta Falcons, who allow 350 passing.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're neck and neck with these teams. They're outdoing them by a whole bunch. And the question is it sustainable? Right, I look at it and say, hey, 3-0, awesome, I'll take it. I'm concerned about it. But at the same time, I look at it and say, well, it's really unfair to the offense, because the offense doesn't have any slack. They can't make mistakes. They can't have a bad day. There's going to be a defense somewhere along the way that has an idea of how to slow down Russell or slow down this offense, and maybe they only score 17 points or 14 points one day. Then what?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, though. I'll put it in a positive spin, because we have been saying, hey, this is 3-0 team, and you know they're giving up too much defensively, but they have survived two pretty major gaffes by the offense. You know, the pick to Greg Olsen, I mean, that was a horrible way to start out that game against the Patriots.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, the punch out on DK Metcalf. I mean, that would have put them ahead significantly. So that, you know, those two things. I would say the other thing is, until yesterday, it didn't seem horrible. I mean, it meant, you know, really what I remember thinking is, okay, they kind of let the Falcons back in, and there was some, you know, problems, but those guys also, you know, had a pretty good day against Dallas later. So, okay. And then not until the last New England Patriot drive did I think, geez, they're just going right down the field. And it was Cam Newton, who hadn't thrown for that much. And so I remember, you know, we talked about it, keys to the game. Rabel and I yesterday always, go on a little bit early and talk about what we think needs to happen. I said, I think as long as they're giving up this many yards, they need to get takeaways. And they did. But, you know, the problem is that Bruce Irvin, Marquise Blair, it sounds like Jamal Adams, you know, we'll see what happens with Quentin Dunbar, but those are three, four guys that are a big part of taking the ball away.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not sustainable at this, at these numbers. So I feel like it's not going to get worse than this. That's for sure. And that's not saying a lot, but I do start to worry all of a sudden about the injuries, because you're on a very thin margin right now. You had to, you know, you had to make defensive plays at the very end to win the last two games. I mean, that could have been,
especially in a game where your quarterback threw five touchdown passes, and right. You had to hang on for dear life to win.
Yeah. I think if they just pay a little bit more attention to the middle of the field and the drops, and, you know, look, I know people are going to give me a hard time on the text toy because they think I'm, you know, always talking about Cody Barton, but he's really good in pass coverage. And so if he gets a chance to play, if Jordan Brooks isn't in there, you know, and sort of protecting the middle part of that field. I did a football one-on-one thing last year on him where he could have had a couple of interceptions because of his pass drops in the Carolina game. And, you know, and he struggled as most rookies do, but he's good in pass coverage, and it's that stuff in the middle of the field, I think, that I worry about the most. I mean, I don't think Shaquille getting beat, you know, same thing with Trey Flowers. I mean, those things are going to happen, although they really haven't. Last year, they didn't really get beat deep a ton, remember? They were just giving up stuff over the middle, the deep crossers, that kind of stuff. That's the stuff where, you know, they just were leaking yardage, you know, almost the whole season. But now it's really bad. But, look, it's I feel like it's going to get better. They're going to have to, you know, address this, though. I mean, look, at this point, you know, the defensive coaches and Pete and everything, they're going to have to come together and say, look, we need to figure out how to stop teams. Because, look, I don't care if it's Ryan Fitzpatrick and, you know, whatever, we'll get into the core of receivers and everything, but everybody in the NFL is good.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not doing things defensively that are sound, you're going to get beat by anybody. So it's to a critical stage right now, which is weird to say. I mean, we're sitting here wringing our hands over a 3-0 team, but you do realize, but like I said, though, I will say they did survive a couple of major gaffes by the offense. So,
yeah. And Jim, people were pointing out earlier in the show when I was talking about, well, they had, if this is truly Pete's defense, you know, others have had a lot of success with it, right? Bradley Quinn, but people pointing out, well, it's not the Legion of Boom. This is a different set of players. I don't expect this group to be a team that leads the league in points allowed the way that team did for 4 or 5 years. I mean, I just want them to be middle of the road. Right now, they're dead last in yards. They're dead last in passing yards. And and people will talk about the offense in those days, like, well, the defense carried this team. Well, we talked about it before when we talked about their offensive coordinators. This was a top 10 offense with the exception of, I believe, two seasons. It may not have seemed like it because the defense was so prominent and it got all the attention, but they were a top 10 offense almost every year during that time. So it was much more balanced than what we're seeing right now.
Well, and that's, I'm with you on that. It's not like you sit here and go, oh, they need to be back like the Legion of Boom days when they were shutting everybody down. And when they got to third down, you knew you were going to see the punter on the next play because they weren't going to get to the yellow line, that kind of thing. You don't expect that. I always bring up Kansas City because I think there's a lot of similarities there. And they made a change at defensive coordinator, and they went from 31st or 32nd in total defense to somewhere in the teens. And it was enough of an upgrade to get them into the Super Bowl and win the Lombardi Trophy. And I don't know if the same thing would happen here, but something needs to change. And Dave talked about the injuries, and it's a good point. How do you make up for some of these guys? Jamal Adams might not play this week. They had to go without Blair and Irvin. And we'll just see how they're going to put all the pieces together. But I would also argue that when they were at full strength, they weren't very good either. So
you're right.
It's just, you know, maybe, you know, Snacks Harrison is coming in for a visit tomorrow. Now, the run defense has been good. We haven't talked too much about that. I don't know if it's
second in the league.
Yeah, I don't know if it's more about the team's just thinking, well, we'll just pick them apart through the air and we're not going to go to the run very much. But the one thing is about New England, when you think about the Seahawks shut them down on the ground, and they had rushed for over 200 yards against Miami in the first week, and Sony Michel ran for over 100 yards yesterday against the Raiders. And New England, I think, is either first or second in the league in rushing. So that's a good sign. So there's at least some improvement there. And we talked all the time about, boy, 2 years in a row, they've allowed almost 5 yards per carry to running backs. And now they've made an improvement in that area. So Snacks Harrison would help with that. I think, like Cliff Averill, when he was on last Friday, he told us he thinks that Clay Matthews, they need to make a signing there too. They need to do something. I don't think they can keep rolling the dice with what they have right now and expect things to change.
Not unless Russell has the greatest season in the history of quarterbacks and he's just this guy for all 16 weeks, which I don't think is a fair or realistic expectation. It's just not. So yeah, and again, nobody's saying you've got to become the Legion of Boom. There's a middle ground. Right now, they're 22nd in the league in points allowed. So they're bottom half of the league. If you can get that up to...
That's hard to believe it's only 22nd.
Yeah, yeah, in terms of points allowed. Yeah, I mean, last in total yards, last in passing yards, second in rushing yards, 22nd in points allowed.
Yeah.
So if they can just bring it up a few notches, just be mediocre. Be mediocre with this offense. That gives you a much better chance, I think.
Well, you know, when I was looking at, and Dave talked about all the explosives and the 10-yard plus plays they've given up.
Yeah, what'd you say, 64?
64.
Oh,
10 plus.
How about the short drives yesterday? Three plays of 94 yards. Three plays it took the Cowboys to go 94 yards, and then another drive, three plays again, 75 yards. Mm. I mean, that's not... You know, you just don't expect that. I mean, Carroll must drive home, be shaking his head. I mean, that's just not acceptable for a guy that always wants to keep things in front of him. And he just was talking about it today that it just can't continue where you're allowing the ball over the top the way the Seahawks have.
Yeah, we'll see what kind of moves they are going to make. Meanwhile, Chris Carson was injured on what appeared to be a really dirty play by Cowboys tackle Tristan Hill. Does the NFL need to do something more than just fine him? We'll talk about that next with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
Lots of good text coming in today. A lot of people loved Ryan Neal. And if you guys missed that conversation, it'll be available for you on the podcast page after the show at 710 Sports. I would highly recommend, if you missed that interview, listening to it, because by the end of it, he's going to be one of your favorite players that you've ever heard speak.
Well, here's the thing. We asked him questions like, Jim asked about proposing to his fiance.
Right.
And the way he's describing
so
it. Yeah, it's just like you can relate to it. He's like, oh, all of a sudden there's a full restaurant of people and people have their phones out. And
like, I got to do this in front of all these people.
And, then I asked him about getting ripped off because, you know, some kids that have, I've known people before that have a birthday like on Christmas or Christmas Eve or New Year's.
You get the dual present. This is for both.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we're all celebrating. What the heck?
Yeah.
So anyway, he talks about things like that, but obviously just an awesome story of this is what the NFL is about. You know, a guy gets an opportunity. Yeah, he grinds. He's on a practice squad. He's in Atlanta. He's here. He's, you know, working his tail off.
Yeah. It was a great conversation. So, again, if you missed it, check it out, 710sports.com. Just click the podcast button and click on our picture. It'll be right there.
Bob, you want to get to scolding this guy.
Yeah, I was not happy about this at all, especially when I got a really good look at it. During the broadcast, you weren't really sure what happened.
Right.
And we're talking about Chris Carson getting hurt, and the good news is it doesn't sound like it's serious, and you know, he may be able to go this week. We'll see what happens, but I would hope they are, and I think they will err on the side of caution because they've got Carlos Hyde there.
Carlos.
They've got options there, but. It was a play that happened quick, so watching on TV, you don't really see it. And then you saw the replay, you saw it isolated, you saw it on Twitter. And what really sold it for me is seeing not Seattle people, not Seattle players or former Seattle players, but national talking. Marcus Spears is out there, Warren Sharp is out there, Greg Schwartz is out there, all condemning it. I mean, just saying, this is unacceptable, this kind of play. And what happened is the guy, what was his name, Tristan Hill?
Tristan Hill.
Tristan Hill has him by the ankles. He's flat on his stomach, Carson is. He's down. Tristan Hill gives an extra roll to his left with some momentum and twists him around, which sprains the knee. And there was absolute, and I know his coach stuck up for him, and I wouldn't expect anything less. The coach isn't going to come up and say, yep, he was trying to hurt him. Told him not to do that anymore, but he did it. I mean, that's just not going to happen. And by the way, here's what Pete Carroll had to say about that.
Yeah, I was really pissed about that one. That was, I don't know what's going to happen with that, but that was, I was pissed because that guy hurt him, you know, unfortunately. And he has, likewise, he's got a first-degree strain, and we'll just have to see how that goes. I keep saying the same thing, but with a running back, it's a little bit more, you know, more of an issue than a big guy.
Yeah, so Pete's got every right to be upset about it. And again, what sold it for me is those that aren't attached to the Seahawks organization, just national voices, former players that are calling BS on this. And KJ Wright took to Twitter and said, the NFL, this needs to be addressed ASAP. Doing dirty, dumb, malicious bleep like this can end someone's season. This is clearly intentional, and getting fined isn't enough. I'm all for guys playing hard, but I have zero tolerance for this. And
you don't hear stuff like that from KJ very often.
No, yeah. KJ's very soft spoken. He's using an expletive in there. But, you know, we can talk about intent and everything, but I think something you touched on, and Jim, we heard it from these other guys, is that it's, yeah, you're competing and you're trying to hit these guys as hard as you can, and you want to win, send messages, all that good stuff. But it is a brotherhood at the end of the day. You're not trying to end anybody's season or career or try to injure somebody. Yeah, maybe you want to ring their bell, knock the wind out of them. You're not trying to injure anybody, and that's what was happening.
Yeah, there's a difference between hurt and injury. You want to make somebody hurt, you know, like we were talking about with Jacob Hollister, that, you know, sometimes Jacob after the games would, it looked like his clothes hanging on his body were hurting him after games. But this is pretty bad. I haven't seen anything like this in a long time. I really haven't. I mean, it's, and I thought what was going to start happening is you can't hit guys high now because you get fined and kicked out of a game, that all of a sudden players would start diving at receiver's legs and have some really nasty looking broken legs and stuff, which used to be what you didn't do. Yeah. You know, and I have to say, like, when I got my knee blown out at University of Arizona in 84, I was like, I wish he would have hit me in the head, but yeah, he chop blocked me and I didn't even see him. So, you know, that was considered to be dirty, but you know, I mean, this was something where he had him down, and then I don't know why he had to do a full alligator roll is what they're calling it.
Parsons on his belly before
hanging
he did
on.
That.
And I'm surprised that it's a first degree. It's pretty ugly because you can't see his knee twist so much, but you can see where his foot is and you see his body. And so it's like it's going the wrong way there. So it's pretty bad. I mean, if I was Tristan Hill, here's what happened. I was in a play like this where I went to block Jeff Hostetler. He moved. I extended my elbow out. And then, you know, afterwards, I said I was sorry. I tried to call him. I tried to apologize. He should probably do something like that. But this is, you know, then he ends up hitting Russell Wilson later on, helmet-to-helmet thing. So, I don't know. Maybe the guy's a maniac. You know, I don't know what kind of guy he is. You know, I mean, maybe he's one of those guys. I mean, look, these guys aren't diplomats. I mean, they're football players. But this is just something. What stood out to me is I have not seen anything like this in a really long time. This is like I said to Clayton, this is like a 1960s type of stuff.
Raiders stuff?
Yeah, where you pick a guy up and dump him on his head and
like
all
Jim
kinds
McMahon
of stuff.
Being slammed on his back by the Packers guy that had his name on a towel. Remember his hit list? You remember that?
No, I don't.
Yeah, who was it? You remember that, Jim? It was a guy the Packers who was wearing a towel, and he had numbers of the guys that were basically on his hit list.
Oh, man. I wish
Jim
I would have done that.
And he picked him up and body slammed him.
I wish I'd have had a hit list on my towel. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
No, this was really bad. And, you know, like KJ said, and look, it's so different now, and it for the better. I was telling a story last night how Gary Reasons, who was a linebacker in that great group and with the Giants, with, you know, Harry Carson, and he came across the field after a game and says, "Hey, man, I've been watching you on film. You do a really good job." And I was like, "Hey, you do, you too, man." That was the only time I ever remember talking to anybody that I didn't know, you know, after a game. I mean, and for him to come over and do that, it's something that you would have today. Now the guys are coming across the field and exchanging jerseys, not in the COVID-19 situation, but still, right. You know, that's basically where we are with these guys. And everybody kind of understands, hey, you know, we're all in this together trying to make a living. We're going to try to knock the snot out of each other, but we're not going to do anything like that. So it's an odd, you know, occurrence that you see. And I guess that's the good news. But the bad news is that hopefully this doesn't hurt Chris Carson. He's such a fantastic player. And he did a couple of things yesterday that were amazing.
Yeah, I don't get it either. And Bob, you're right. When you hear from around the league, typically you would hear from Chris Carson's teammates about that. But J.D. McKissick, there were others just all around the league. And it was 100%. They all felt the same way. There wasn't anybody defending Tristan Hill for what he did. So it was pretty unanimous.
Except for his coach.
Well, yeah, his coach, of course.
Well, I bet you, had McCarthy even got a chance to look at it or anything? I mean, this was right in post-game, I believe. So, yeah, I mean, of course, he's gonna stick up for his player. But
is that a situation where, and I don't know if the coach pulled you aside on the Hostetler thing, but behind closed doors, maybe McCarthy goes to him and says, hey, man, don't do that again. We can't afford it.
Yeah.
You can't, that's below board. We don't do that.
Shanahan had gotten stiffed by the Raiders by about $250,000. So when I took out their quarterback and also had caused a fumble on that play, he was like, that was great. I'm like, hey, would you mind paying my fine? That never materialized.
Right.
But that was one of the reasons why I was mad about Shanahan not bringing me back, because I didn't mean to take out Hostetler, but I caused a fumble on that play. And then I also caused a fumble against the Raiders, my last play in the game, that knocked them out of the playoffs. We got it, went down, scored. And I thought that Shanahan would have at least brought me back for a tryout the next year. Instead, 2 months later, he calls me and says, yeah, we're not going to bring you back. Like, okay, well, thanks.
For nothing, pal.
I helped beat the Raiders a couple of times for you, and they owed you $250. But anyways, we'll see you later. But, oh, that's me with my own little personal problems. Yeah. You know, this is the point where somebody goes, hey, Dave, that sounds like a personal problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
we get out of here in the next segment, what should the punishment be? And get Jim's take in a minute. But
It has to be something that really catches everybody's eye. But the thing is, like I said, you just don't see this. Out of most players. So, but I don't know. What do you think? 50? 50,000?
Yeah, at least.
I mean, it looks really bad. What do you think, Jim?
Well, I think he should be suspended for a game. You know, just one game, and just, you know, make a statement about, hey, this isn't going to be tolerated. You're not going to get away with something like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't disagree with that. I'm sure they'd appeal it, and who knows.
But I wonder if maybe they'll even try to fine the team a little bit, too. Who knows? Yeah.
I mean, the fact that he had the other hit on Russell, which I didn't take as much of a dirty
play. Well, until you saw this.
But yeah, because it's the same guy, you're going, all right, maybe this is just his nature. Maybe he's, you know, Vontaze Perfect. Maybe he's one of those guys who can't control it in the moment and just is like.
Well, like I said, maybe he's a maniac.
Yeah, he could be a maniac. That might be the simple explanation.
And Dave, by the way, you know, I've got that NFL app and I'm watching the Chiefs and the Ravens. The Chiefs just scored. It's 13-3. They missed their first extra point. They made this one. They scored on an underhanded pass by Patrick Mahomes. It looked like he was throwing a softball to his receiver.
Okay, you know what he just did? He made a Russell Wilson-like throw.
There you go.
Because I'm telling you, Russell's making those throws
underhand.
Right and left.
I got to see that replay, though.
Yeah,
I'm
it was an underhand like it was a softball.
Like a softball pitch? Did he wind up?
Yeah, basically, because it was just like a 5-yard pass that he just kind of underhanded it to the guy.
Now he's just showing off.
It wasn't
off.
A shovel pass. It was just an underhanded, right-handed.
Just showing off.
Yeah, well, I have to see that replay. Matt was nice enough to turn the little monitor he has in the studio towards us so we can get a glimpse.
I can see, like, it was like, it almost looks like one of those little handheld TVs that from the 80s.
That's it's got about the antenna how big sticking the screen off of it, is. Like a big walkie-talkie. Yeah, that's what it's like. It was a nice gesture on his part, I think. All right, coming up, we'll talk more football. The professor, John Clayton, will join us next here with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Wow, you sure know a lot of stuff.
It's great to learn.
Because knowledge is power.
Mondays following a Seahawks game are big learning days, aren't they, Maura?
Oh, definitely.
What did we learn today?
Well, first off, we learned that something very simple was going through Ryan Neal's head during his interception.
Yeah, I mean, did it occur to you that, I mean, that guy that you picked off yesterday is making like $40 million a year or is going to?
I mean, to be honest with you, I ain't even get down to it like that. I'm just like, man, ball. That's all I thought about was ball. Didn't know who threw it. Didn't care who threw it. I just seen the pigskin flying. I'm like, let me go. Hey, go get it. The ball right there. So, yeah, but I ain't even thought about it like that.
That's exactly the right answer. Because if he said, you know what, I was thinking that, I'd be thinking, man, where's your head at? Jim, yeah, right. If Jim were a football player, he'd be running off the field talking to his teammates going, can you believe I make this much and that guy's making $40 million? That's unfair. I just picked him off.
Yeah, you're right. I probably would be thinking that.
In Jim's mind, like every player would have like how much their salary is above their head, you know, like in a thought bubble. He's $40 million. He's $4 million. I'm only making $100,000. What the heck?
Yeah. Do you think? I mean, this might be a crazy question based off of how he looked yesterday, but do you think he's really worth that much?
Dak Prescott?
Dak Prescott?
Yeah.
Oh, I do. I love Dak Prescott.
All right.
Oh, man.
I think you're higher on him than I am.
Yeah, you know he was player of the week coming into this game? He threw for 450, one touchdown, and ran for three. And a couple of those, you know, the pitch and catch balls that were deep, those were good throws, man. He is, I think, sneaky underrated. And, yeah, he throws a good deep ball. I don't know. I have a love for Dak Prescott. I just think he's a good leader, everything. I just think he's a regular dude, you know?
Is he in the...
Well, he wasn't getting any help from Elliott yesterday.
No.
Man, he was terrible as a receiver.
He had, I think I had 2.9. That was either with the targets.
12 targets, I think, 6 catches.
I think he had 2.9 yards every time he touched it, which is very unlike... The last two times that he's... Did he score a touchdown yesterday? He did, didn't he?
He did.
That's the first time he's ever scored a touchdown against the Seahawks defense. But in the past two meetings, 128 yards from scrimmage from Zeke. And what did he have yesterday? Like 30?
Not much. Yeah. He was terrible receiving the ball. And I think he had, what, 14 carries in the game? So it was not a big day. He didn't seem to be a big part of their game plan.
Yeah, he had 58 yards. So
Total. Wow. What else did we learn, Maura?
Well, we got some insight into Dave's father-daughter dynamic.
Dave, did you see your daughter's tweet yesterday?
No. Was she making fun of me?
No. It was really sweet. Oh. Your little girl tweeted out that, and she had a picture of you on Channel 13 saying it's great to see Pops doing what he truly loves and talking about football. So, yeah,
Cool. That's very sweet.
That's nice.
Usually we make fun of each other.
Yeah?
Yeah. We have a picture frame, where there's like a bird on top of the frame, and it's a picture of Kendall. So I cut out these little white pieces of, like, so it looked like the bird's pooping on her.
People probably don't know this, but Dave really gets into his art projects.
You know what?
He really puts in some effort, whether it's writing on Altuve's little bat that was a pen in here, or putting little sticky notes on Danny's big head here, or other pages you've drawn on before, but you're into it.
It's being passed down to my daughter. I got to tell you what she did to me one time. You know, my mouse, I had one of those mouses for my computer that, you know, it responds basically by you moving it on the desk, and it wasn't working. I turned it over, and she had taped a picture of me on the bottom, and it's a really stupid picture of me that she found somewhere. So
that's,
I was basically forced to turn it over, and there it was. I was like, that is a good one.
That's clever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I have it up right now, and it says, I love to see my pops having the time of his life doing what he loves. And she has a picture of you looking at Aaron Levine with your TV smile, Dave.
Hey, the fake TV smile.
Yeah.
Jim, you like that?
I do like that.
I love working with Aaron. Levine. Aaron's awesome. He really is. He makes me smile. But it also
another Stanford guy.
Yeah, that's right. And it also makes me smile that my daughter said something nice about
something
me.
Something genuine and nice, not usually, taking a shot at
yeah,
you.
Yeah, usually she's taking a shot at me.
That was pretty cool.
All in good fun.
What else did we learn, Maura?
We learned that Jim is fearless when it comes to being wrong.
Now, what if he has a really good year, but they don't win the Super Bowl? Is that you being right? Or what is it?
No, I'd be wrong again.
Okay.
Because I just don't think he's going to be very good when all is said and done.
Okay, so he's just flat out not going to be very good at the end of this year. When
Correct.
We look at his numbers, we'll go, that was a bad year.
Declining numbers as the year goes on, yes.
When you're wrong, I just want to encourage you to not beat yourself up too much, okay?
No, I think it's so funny when people always have to be right all the time, you know? What the heck?
Well, that's certainly not a problem
for you. You throw opinion...
Oh, I caught it that time.
Yeah, you were,
I caught it that
you
time.
You were yapping,
Bob,
and couldn't hear it.
Certainly not a problem with you.
Bob and I were having a good old time here, going back and forth on Jim. Jim's sitting at home, can't see us, here taking shots at you.
Was that how I said it, Jim?
Yes, yes, Bob, that's how you said it.
Certainly not a problem.
It's funny when
you.
Jim does his imitations of, oh, and things like that. Yeah, I think it's Jim is proud of the fact that he's not one of those guys that's always right.
Oh, man, I hate know-it-alls on the radio. I really do.
What are you, Jim? You're a know-it-some?
Know-it-some.
Yeah, that's what Jim, Jim crowned himself a know-it-some.
A know-it-some and a beta male. Two really unique distinctions. That's great.
Cooking people equals know-it-alls.
Yeah.
Yeah, they know what plays should be called. Yeah,
well, a lot of unemployed coaches out there listening.
What I don't understand is Daryl Bevel is calling plays that he thinks are going to work, and yet you feel like you have a better handle on the play calling?
And you walked out of the auditorium that day and missed it.
Well, it's still one of my favorite quotes, and I actually put it in the book that I wrote with Bob Condotta. I just thought that was the funniest thing I've ever heard.
It will live forever. It's
he said to
now.
Richard Sherman.
Yep. That's awesome. What else did we learn, Maura?
That's it. We'll end on that high note.
All right. You're right. Always good, just as George Costanza, right? Leave on a high note. That's it right. For me.
Goodbye, everybody.
That's it for us. All right, I want to thank our guests today, John Clayton, Brian Billick, and Ryan Neal, who was really, really good. Again, if you didn't catch that, I would really advise you check out that interview. It's on the podcast page, 710sports.com. Click the podcast button, then click on our picture. It's right there for you. Each and every day, anything you missed is there. We're going to be back with you tomorrow right here with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.